Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, welcome back to Whence Came You. Well, what's going on in the news? Well, let me just say that we had a slight hiccup. You know, I actually just upgraded my Mac to the new Catalina operating system. You know, the problem, though, is they really didn't think through that very well. And anybody who owned, like, software that was not Apple distributed really kind of got the shaft for a minute. Now, I know there's a lot of hate on Apple for a lot of what happens with that stuff and how it goes. But what is interesting is that the program we use to record actually won't allow us to record because it requires a permission with our software and all this stuff. So we are working through this. I'm actually recording on my laptop instead. So hopefully everything comes out just right for this week. Other news. I recently took over the Illinois Lodge of Research's website, so I'm officially a webmaster now, which is kind of weird, but we've got some great plans with that. We're going to be putting the proceedings up and working through it. I'm taking a page out of Illustrious Brother Harrison's book and going to get the Lodge of Research in Illinois up on the social media platforms, and we'll tweet out some interesting, cool stuff and maybe drive some interest that way and more Masonic education, some history, all that good stuff. Keep an eye out on that. If you're looking for a web address, right now the old website is still up, which is IllinoisLodgeOfResearch.org or .com, whichever you prefer. And what we did was they updated that website and it's just not live. The new version's not up and live yet. So it will be soon. Got to thank Brother Jim Tome for all his work. Basically pulling us out of the dark ages a couple of years ago and giving us a real website. Now that he's retired from that, I'm working on it, and it should be really fun. So I've got two pieces for you this week. One is Masonic Education, Don't Call It a Comeback, by my friend and brother Kevin Homan out there in Virginia. And it's a really nice article that he put together just a little while ago, and it kind of talks about some of the trials and tribulations of bringing Masonic education to the forefront of the mainstream Masonic landscape. I wanted to use a term, but I feel like I was listening to NPR this week, and if you guys watch that or listen to segments like Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl, they talked about the overuse of the word headwind, as in we're doing well in spite of headwind, and it was just overly used and totally played out, but and I think we've probably been dealing with headwind in terms of Masonic education for, 50, 60 years, something like that. But we're making strides. We're making strides. So we have this piece coming up from Brother Homan, and then we've got another great piece coming up right after that. But now it's time to pay the bills. How do you make this show happen? Well, we make this show happen a few different ways. The two main ways that most people do, which is through direct donations through PayPal, or you can support us through Patreon. Now, what are the benefits on Patreon? Well, you can become a $2 a month contributor, a $5 a month fellow, or a $10 per month producer. Each one comes with the same benefits. Whether you go through PayPal or you go through Patreon, both have the same benefits. Of course, those benefits are we put your name on the website. For a contributor, for a fellow, you get the name on the website, and I'll send you a card in the mail. And if you're a producer, you get those two things, plus I'll send you a brand new producer's pin. And really the spiel is that since July of 2011, this podcast has been creating weekly Masonic education for anybody interested in Freemasonry and its kindred sciences, as Albert Mackey would say. This is no small endeavor, requiring hours of work each week, on top of what we all have, work, kids, spouses, and after years of donation support from brothers and friends through other means, for the first time ever, we're launching this Patreon with tiers that mirror our past practices, that some come with a little extra bonus. So I invite you to join us in producing the WCY podcast. You know, in the last 10 years, Masonic education has come a long way. Coincidence? I don't think so. Let's keep the ship on course. And I just want to thank you guys all for your consideration, for being able to come on this program to become a contributor, a fellow, or a producer. Again, whether you do that on PayPal or on Patreon, we have that available right on our website, wcypodcast.com. If you hover over the more, there are a couple other ways to assist us. Of course, you can do some shopping through onnit.com, but click through our link so that they make sure they send the assistance back to us. And we also have the Great Books program, and I can't say enough great things about that. I would urge you to go to the website and sign up to get on the mailing list to know when they do enrollment, because it is enrollment-based, and it is a rolling thing. So when they finish, then they'll start up a new one a few weeks later. So please check that out. They help us significantly with some great benefits, but you got to go through our website, and you have to use those promo codes so that they know you came to them through us. And that's WCY is the promo code for both. All right, so that is me paying the bills. Let's get into this week's first piece. Masonic Education, Don't Call It a Comeback, by Kevin Homan. Freemasonry is a very individual journey. While all of us go through the same rituals and initiatory rites, once we've been raised to the sublime degree of a Master Mason, we're all free to explore our interests in Freemasonry individually. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure book, for those of you old enough to get that reference. We have brothers who become ritualists, brothers who go off and explore the various appended bodies, and brethren who are perfectly content to stick with the Blue Lodge experience. None of that is the wrong way to Freemason. Again, the goal of each Mason is to make themselves better, a better man, a better husband, father, citizen. How they do that is up to themselves. A key aspect of Freemasonry, though, or at least in my opinion, is the educational component. Unfortunately, this is an aspect that has been set aside in place of ritual, community service, and social events up till recently. Like the varied interests within just the craft itself, you'll find the educational interests vary from brother to brother as well. Some brethren are interested in the history of the craft, and sitting in an esoteric program won't interest them one bit. Then you have brethren who belong to the Rosicrucian body, and they eat up the esoteric programs, papers, and presentations. When it comes to coming up with a year's worth of programs as you prepare to sit in the East of a body, this can sometimes make it tough to please everybody. In an organization like the Knights Templar, this problem becomes a bit easier. As a Masonic organization with a Christian and knightly theme, you can focus your educational programs within those narrow parameters. But as a master of a Blue Lodge, or a local lodge rather, it is a tighter balance trying to cater to all the different interests among your brethren. Balance, some of you might even call it equilibrium, is key here. You don't want to focus too heavily on one particular topic over the course of a year and risk turning your brethren off to the educational aspect. Rather, going with a balanced approach, pulling from a wide variety of topics will keep your members engaged throughout the year. You also run the possibility of a brother who has been solely interested in one topic finding interest in another and expanding his sphere of interest. The point I'm trying to make is the days of showing up to a meeting talking about the bills, voting on which lights to replace in the lodge, and then wrapping up are over. The men walking through our doors want education as part of our meetings. They crave it. It is up to us to give it to them. So what's my story? Well, I actually started out as a ritualist before becoming an avowed Masonic education guy. When I was raised back in 2007, I took to ritual immediately. I dove into working with multiple candidates, helping them learn the ritual to return their catechisms, and set a goal for myself that I was going to get my gold card. But then something changed. In 2010, I joined my local Scottish Rite Valley in Alexandria. As part of the day's events, they were selling a book and its corresponding educational program to all new members. The book was The Scottish Rite Ritual Monitor and Guide by Arturo de Hoyos, and the educational program was the Southern Jurisdiction's first course of the Master Craftsman program. Now, I had taken the first course of the Grand Lodge of Virginia's correspondence course, but this was on a whole different level, and my course in Freemasonry was forever altered. I just soaked it up. I quickly finished up that first course, then quickly moved on and completed the second, now discontinued due to a reorganization of the program. I took a year or two off from the program due to work and family commitments, not allowing me the time, and then completed the Esoterica course, and am now working my way through the course that uses Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma as its source material. My junior year in college, I took a class on comparative religion. Remembering back on the class, I did enjoy it, as it exceeded my expectations on what I would be getting out of it. But I also would be lying if I said I took that class at that time because I was genuinely interested in the topic. I wasn't. I was looking for something that I thought was easy, and that would give me a break between other more difficult classes. If the Kevin of 2002 ever thought that the Kevin of 2019 would be completely enthralled with Morals and Dogma, which itself is a deep dive into a comparative religion, and even esoteric topics, well, he would have told you, you were smoking something fantastic. I mentioned in a previous post of mine that the millennial generation currently joining the fraternity are doing so with the intent of seeking knowledge. What many of these brethren are finding, however, when they enter a lodge, is business meetings with bills, the reading of the minutes, and if they're lucky, maybe an old generic 3 to 5 minute program that could loosely be called, quote-unquote, Masonic education. In my own personal statement on the issue of grand lodges wondering why we have a problem of bringing men in who show up for roughly a year and then don't return, well, is it any wonder why we have this problem? If we're not interested in learning what the brethren of our lodges want and giving them that experience, why should we expect them to join us at all? Lodges are dying all around wondering why, while the answer is right in front of their faces. But when you're asking the wrong question, you'll never come upon the right answer. Thankfully, though, Masonic education is getting much-needed infusion of brethren providing the type of high-quality education people are looking for, and we're hopefully slowly turning the tide. I just finished a weekend with 3 other awesome brothers running a Masonic Esoteric Education Conference. You always go into events like this with that self-doubt of, are we going to be successful? But we absolutely got it right. The demand was there, we had 140 attendees, and we had to turn people away because we reached capacity. We proved that the hunger for this type of Masonic education was there, in spades. You might think I'm bragging, and I am. I am because I'm really damn proud of what my brethren and I were able to accomplish in our inaugural effort. But there's a more important reason I bring this up. I bring this up because as we were in the planning stages for this event, one of my colleagues was told, quote, you need to be careful with this esoteric stuff, because that's not how we do things here. We do traditional Freemasonry here, end quote. Never mind that Freemasonry, as it was founded, as its degrees are conferred, draws upon very esoteric principles of meaning, hidden by allegories, I will point you back to the top of the article here where I talk about Masonry being a personal journey. There is no place for telling another brother what kind of education they can and cannot seek within Freemasonry. And again, it's a wonder that brethren somehow stop coming around with attitudes like this, especially coming from the highest levels. But I bring this up for an even more important reason that directly affects my grand jurisdiction. And that is because we had many attendees from my grand jurisdiction that came out for this event. The common thread among all those Masons who attended was genuine thanks for holding this event. Thanks because they had been looking but couldn't find this type of education. In one weekend, we proved that Masons in my grand jurisdiction want this. We proved that a lot of Masons want this type of educational programming. Why can't quote-unquote traditional Freemasonry coexist with those of us who have a thirst for esoteric Freemasonry? For those of you Freemasons in doubt that Freemasonry can be about education, and I'm talking all education here, don't fret, you are not alone. There are other brethren out there seeking the same things you are. There are brethren out there putting together what you are looking for. The great thing is, it doesn't even involve having to travel. Although those types of things are fun, it's easy to get your fix locally as well. Find like-minded brethren in your lodge or across your district and start up local interest groups. meet at a bar, a brother's house, any place really, and have discussions or book groups to learn about these topics that you're interested in. This is something I do with brethren in several lodges in my area, and we found great success in doing so. But if you're looking for the larger gathering type event, well, there's plenty to cover you as well. We modeled our event after Masonicon, started in 2016 by brethren from Ezekiel Bates Lodge in Attleboro, Massachusetts, and held annually, features speakers and programs on a broad range of Masonic education topics. The Grand Lodge of Ohio hosts annually their Camp Masonry program, a two-day program featuring Masonic speakers, degree work, and general Masonic fellowship. But Masonic Light doesn't stop there either. From podcasts like Masonic Roundtable, The Winding Stairs, and Whence Came You, to a slew of Masonic blogs like The Midnight Freemasons, From Darkness to Light, The Laudable Pursuit. My point in this is to say, don't be discouraged as a Mason if you're not getting your fixes at every lodge meeting. Certainly don't settle for the status quo. And do your best to affect change locally, but you can certainly get whatever you're looking for Masonically if you look for it. And the sites and events and ideas I mentioned above are great starts. To you, the Mason looking for more light, looking for more light than the reading of the minutes, looking for more light than a 3 to 5 minute program, you need not fret. A movement is growing, a movement is coming that is going to get Freemasonry back on the educational track. I certainly don't feel I'm saying this lightly. I say this because I experienced it firsthand. I experienced it because I helped put something together that brethren were yearning for, something they had been waiting to get but were not being given by their lodges or grand lodges. If you're craving something more than the typical lodge meeting, you're not alone, so don't give up hope. Find it online, start up local groups, and do something big from there. To borrow a phrase mentioned at Esotericon, quote, "Are we doing Freemasonry for the lodges, or are we doing Freemasonry for the candidates?" and I'd add brothers, of our lodges. A popular statement to petitioners during their investigation generally revolved around how Masonry is different from any other local beneficent groups such as the Rotary, Elks, Kiwanis, etc. I think it is a statement that used to be true, but not so much anymore because of the majority of American lodges these days aren't doing anything different than what those organizations are doing. There is, however, a growing wave of brethren actively working to make that a true statement again. Freemasonry is an organization that makes good men better, and from its inception, this was through a balance of ritual and education. As of late, we've gotten out of balance, but the tide is turning and equilibrium is coming. This article in no way represents any official Grand Lodge position or opinion. The writings here are mine and mine only. Fraternally, Kevin Homan. So there you have this wonderful piece by Brother Kevin Homan as he outlined a need. He gave you his journey, what he was looking for, and you know, he found it. But then he was exposed to something else and it flipped a switch for him. And then maybe things weren't the same at lodge meetings. So then he had to go find something and eventually build this event. And they really did such a fantastic job with it. I loved it. And the new website is up, and the dates for next year are already out. It's like 6 months away, you guys. It's going to be fantastic when it gets here. I'm definitely going to be going. I don't know if I'm speaking this year or not. I've not heard anything about a lineup of talks or whatever. I'm just going because I'm not going to miss it. I loved it last year. I missed Don McAndrew's talk. And it really bummed me out. So I'm hoping to go again this year just to catch Don McAndrews. In addition to that, of course, all of the brethren that we get to hang out with and share fellowship with, everybody who's into the Masonic education. That's what it's all about. That's why you're listening to this program. Big thanks to Kevin Homan for allowing us to read that paper. If you liked it, then check out Brother Homan's works on Medium, that's a blog space, and we'll try to get you a link to follow him there. In addition, I'll put links to any of the Masonic conferences that are going on, and of course, MasonicCon Chicago. You know, we are ramping up. We've released several numbers of speakers already. There's going to be another speaker announced this upcoming week. It's going to be pretty great, just in a couple days, but only if you're a subscriber to the email list. If you're not a subscriber to the email list, then you will have to wait another week before we release it to the public. And let's go ahead and check out another piece of education. All right, the next piece actually comes from the Scottish Rite Journal of Freemasonry, Southern Jurisdiction, United States of America, November-December issue, 2019. And the cover of this issue, of course, has illustrious Brother James Dean Cole, who is the 19th Sovereign Grand Commander of the Ancient Accepted Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction of the United States of America. And he, of course, just replaced Ronald Seal very recently. So our congratulations goes out to Brother Dean Cole. But on page 23 of the magazine, which I have to tell you guys, this issue is really great. I have to, first of all, say that Brother Cole in the beginning of the issue is fantastic. But then also there are several pieces of this. Show Me the Valley of St. Louis has a wonderful snippet that they talk about some of the issues in relation to giving a man a job and he will show up for work, right? And I thought it was a really great piece. I'm not sure if illustrious Brother Brett wrote that or who wrote it, but it is fantastic. Moving through the magazine, page 19, there's an article called Master of the King's Works, Evidence for the High Wisdom of the Ancient Architect by Morgan Smith. And it's a little bit of an explanation on some Egyptian symbology. And then on page 21, there is a great article called Cyrus the Great Philosopher and Builder of Empires by Dr. John Bozeman. And so this really deals with, there's some elements here, the 15th degree, Knight of the East. And of course, for our Northern Masonic Jurisdiction brothers, there may be some corollaries that you pull from this. I'm not entirely sure how similar the 2 degrees are, but if you heard it, I'm actually flipping through the magazine as we go through this. But this is a fantastic issue. So I will, in the app, I will go ahead and throw the entire issue, as long as I can download it from the website, I'll throw it in the app so that you guys have easy access to it. And check it out, because it's a great issue. But the real reason I'm talking about it is, on page 23, our friend Matt Gallagher actually wrote a really cool article called Freemasonry, 10 Signs You're Doing It Wrong. So it's a great article, and I think we're going to read this. I reached out to Matt. I said, hey, this was fantastic. Great work on this. Do you want to read it on the show? And he said that he was a little bit busy, and so he's doing some great work that I'll tell you about right after the article. But he said, if I wanted to read it for Sunday's program, to go for it. So we're going to do that. Here are 10 practical tips of what to avoid in the lodge by Matt Gallagher. You might like to think you're worthy of this Masonic institution and that you're doing things correctly. Yet, is this really the case? You could have grand in front of every title you've earned in the craft, and yet your day-to-day fraternal interactions could be poisoning your lodge and brothers. Here are 10 signs that you might be contributing to a downward trajectory in your lodge. 1. You're sitting alone. I myself am an introvert, so I understand the appeal of sitting on the distant couch or in the darkened corner and scrolling the iPhone while the lodge brothers are whooping it up some distance away. Introverts often like to remain quiet and or enjoy the company of one or two close friends, as they might be simply overwhelmed and exhausted by interaction. While understandable, this is nonetheless a disservice to you and your brethren. Daniel Coyle, the author of Culture Code, The Secrets of Highly Successful Groups, cites studies which claim that strong groups sit together. This is an animal instinct. When the pack is together, there is safety, and safety lowers anxiety, thus opening the emotional pores. When a lone wolf is sitting off alone, not only is he in more danger, raising his own anxiety, but the pack, too, will be concerned for his safety, raising the anxiety level of the pack as a whole. Even if you'd rather scroll through your phone and not talk, signal some efforts, such as scooching your chair to within the last 5 seats of the group. 2. You're sitting with the same few guys. Avoid the appearances of cliques and cabals. There will always be some who are more than brothers. They're personal friends whose company you enjoy. Yet don't ignore the other guys, conversing with your own set too deeply or too long. Always remember, other Masons in the room are your brothers with whom you stand in a close relationship. Unless you talk with others and get to know them, you'll never know when there is a mutual interest that you may discover. Remember this by word, quote, your brothers are your business because we're in the business of brotherhood. Number three, you come and go without a handshake. Life is busy, and we don't like interruptions going from A to B, yet Freemasonry is supposed to be an interruption to let you pause, breathe, and take stock of who you are. Human touch is important to this process. It's not just a classic greeting or an exchange of niceties, though it is certainly all of that. A handshake is like an anchor, like something reaching out and grabbing you and pulling you out of the rapids of life's river and onto the shore of a safe harbor. Number four, you give the old no-look pass. Everyone's done it. You feel a pat on the arm and see a palm out of the corner of your eye. You grab the hand and shake without even breaking the stride of your conversation. The handshake was historical, shorthand for I'm not going to kill you right now. And eventually came to signify I'm glad you're here because I trust you. As good times went on to breed weak men, the handshake turned more into hey, I'm sticking out my hand because here's a thing I guess I have to do. As Masons, we aim for the above-middle definition of hospitality. Face your brother, hold your hand out, grip and look your interlocutor in the eye. Be as kind as you can muster. Number five, you go from meeting to car to home. If your meetings are so great that it's all you need, then congratulations and send me your minutes. Yet, I really cannot relate to this. Don't you want to do something else, such as talk, have a drink somewhere up the street, vent about work, discuss movies, discuss ghosts, discuss movies about ghost hunting for a lot of us? Lodge night is our one night out of the house. Let's live it up a bit and enjoy craft fellowship. Number six, you're sitting while a brother is working. Almost every lodge has the three or four guys. They do all the cooking and the dishes. They're the ones who show up with a truck when someone puts out a signal for help. If you're not that guy, and you can't name the three or four guys in your lodge who are, you've probably already tired them out. They're done and have moved on. And that's when a lodge starts dying. I'm not saying you have to be one of those guys, but if you're sitting there and you're hearing the clattering of pots and pans, get up and ask how you can help. Number seven, you're in the weeds and you're not asking for help. I admit, it may be kind of fun to curse your lazy brethren and seethe when you have cooked for the lodge and done the dishes. You feel you are up to your knees alone in Masonic chores. At this point, do yourself and everyone else a favor by asking for help. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the kitchen door shall be opened. And others will be ready to come and help. Number eight, there's a brother you're not talking to. My mentor, on the day I met him, told me that your Masonic family is like your actual family. You love them all, but that doesn't mean you will always like them all. If there is a brother who is not talking to you or to whom you are not speaking, break the ice by talking to that brother on the level, on the plumb, and on the square. Will it work? In some cases not, but this does not absolve you from having to try. Number nine, you're talking unkindly about a brother who is out of earshot. Gossip is human nature, but can be very destructive, even if you do not start with bad intentions and rationalize that you're being constructive. I caution you to tread lightly. Idle gossip holds the door open, letting in his pals, cliquishness, plotting, and disharmony. Number 10. It never hurts. Let me be clear. All of us do all of the above things sometimes. I've done all of them. I still do some of them. And between writing and publishing this article, I will have done them. No Mason is a perfect ashless. If this truth hurts, remember a quote attributed to Alexis Carroll, written as if for Masons. Quote, man cannot remake himself without suffering, for he is both the marble and the sculptor. End quote. Worshipful brother Matt Gallagher is a Masonic educator specializing in relevant and applicable philosophy. His work includes articles, books, and videos, which can be found at www.practicalfreemasonry.com. Now, one of the things that Matthew Gallagher has been doing, actually, he has a monthly newsletter of Lodge Education called The Practicing Freemason. It's available for individual subscription or to Grand Lodges, and they can subscribe and distribute to their constituent lodges. Articles like Three Ways to Fake Being a Better Man. They've got a little book club corner. It's a really cool newsletter that is more applicable to things on the whole in Freemasonry, and it deals with the practical side of Freemasonry. There's a section called Coffee Talk. It says, I'll even give you a topic. In keeping with the general theme, have a chat about personality and approach. How do you approach a stranger when trying to make friends? How do you like to be approached? What puts you off? Describe a time when you made a judgment about a person and later discovered you'd misjudged them. You know, these are things that we all really should be considering in terms of Freemasonry, because these are largely a lot of the topics that we discuss in Lodge, right? We are supposed to be reflective in all of this. So I would really invite you to check out that website, practicalfreemasonry.com. It's great stuff. And it's all applicable even to the non-esotericist Mason, right? Because in plain language, we're dealing with the mind. We're dealing with consciousness. And how do we work with our consciousness to ground ourselves in our everyday lives, our work, our habits, all of these things? So check it out. It's worth a shot. And I think it's a needed tool for Freemasonry. That's it for this week. So I want to thank you all for joining me this week on the WCY podcast. Whence Came You? I have to thank, of course, all of our contributors, our fellows, and our producers. You guys make this thing happen. Without you, it's just I could not do this by myself. Again, just thank you guys so much. My gratitude cannot be expressed in bigger terms than I'm trying to tell you, and I'm not going to stop saying thank you. It's going to happen every week, so just be ready for it. I'll try to switch it up so it's not in the same place every time, so you can never skip me saying thank you. But that's it. So please check the Midnight Freemasons, 3 articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. If you're listening to this on Sunday, then Monday I had a heck of an article for you coming from my good friend and brother, District Education Officer Spencer Hammond. He's also the senior warden of my lodge, Spesnovum 1183. MasonicCon Chicago around the corner. Remember, in just a couple of days, we're going to announce a new speaker who will be announced via a small video that gets shot out via email to all of our subscribers. Everybody who is not on that email list will get the video as a premiere on Facebook the week after, and we're going to keep doing that. And then just down the road, we're going to do a blitz week where we're going to announce 5 speakers, I think, in 1 week, maybe 4. That's right. How many speakers? 11. 11 speakers, 3 days. It's going to be a gauntlet, but fantastic, and what a great time that we're going to do. How do I know we can do it? Because I watched South Pasadena Masonic Lodge do it. I don't know if we're going to do it as good as they did it, but we're going to try. Lastly, happy Halloween. That's right. So I hope you guys have a great Halloween, a safe Halloween. I'm not sure if the Masonic Roundtable will be on that evening, but if we are, of course, every Thursday at 8:30, 9:30 Eastern, check us out. Interact live on Facebook or on YouTube. That's it. So with that, I bid you all farewell until next week. Happy Halloween, and take care. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.